Brother Bill, how about being our senior elder and lead us in prayer this morning? Thank you, sir.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this to come to you. You know, Father, you do hear us. You know our needs and our wants. You know, you give the best for us, Father. Thank you for your great love, steadfast love, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for coming to this earth. Jesus, live, hurt, and die.
Amen. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. I think I better start out with my brain teaser again, just in case. That we agree to disagree agreeably on seemingly non-negotiable matters, like politics and theology and religion and opinions. Don't go out of here, man. Don't decide not to come back because I'm here. Just this may be my last time doing this because Dr. Henneke is cutting way back on his travel. Radine just does not like for him to be gone very much, and so he struggles with that some. And I think he's got a couple more meetings scheduled within the next year or so, but he has really cut back. So this may be one of my slow times for us. But I want to start this morning by apologizing for being so personal and so being so vulnerable today. But I didn't want to use anybody else as an example. Okay, so I pick on myself. I teach a Sunday school class at First Nazarene Church, and a few weeks ago, my Sunday school lesson had to do with something. I said to them, I need to change the title to the lesson. And so I want you to say this with me. And I gave them a statement to say with me, and I'm going to give you that statement, and I want you to say it with me too. How do I know the will of God? Okay, say that with me. How do I know the will of God? That's a simple little question. There's no easy answer. I want you to know up front that I believe that there are a lot of examples of where God has actually spoken to somebody and told them what to do. Abraham, for example. It's a wonderful example for him. Jacob. With Jacob. But what about Noah? That had to be a special request. Do the will of God, build a boat. And but there's so many that you can think of. That, Paul, for example, Peter on the rooftop. You know, time and again. What about someone that you can think of? You can think of somebody that just, you know, they had one of these special times. Martin Luther had one. Remember that? He got out in that storm. He had one. And there's numbers of people have had him. So I'm not saying that's not done. I think it is done. I'll have to admit to you, I have met some that said that I worried about. I know when I was in college, I had a few occasions. I was a little older than most of the students because I'd been away in the service for 3 years. And so I was a little older than most of them. And some of fella came to me one day and said, you know, I got to go tell this girl that the Lord told me last night we're to get married. I said to him, you better go tell her to talk to the Lord about that. You may be in trouble. But he wouldn't tell her. Said, I prayed last night and the Lord said we're supposed to get married. She said, well, he hasn't said anything to me. Pastor my church at times, I had people tell me what the what the Lord wanted them to do, and sometimes what he wanted me to do. So, sometimes those, but not, I can't push that too far, because there have been occasions when the Lord sent somebody to somebody else to tell them something. Remember that? I don't know if you grew up at times like this or not, but I grew up in a time when, especially on Sunday night, we'd have an altar service, and somebody in the crowd felt moved to go talk to somebody else. And sometimes that was a disaster. I've actually seen it start out holy, 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 and the next thing is, oh Lord God Almighty, this person leave, because this is, but this, the other individual felt like the Lord told him to do something. So how do I know the will of God for me? See, my lesson study had coming out was, I was supposed to ask, how do you know the will of God? I can't ask you that, because that's almost an unanswerable question. I know this. Two things I know. One, it takes a lot of prayer. And number two, hear this. It never goes contrary to the Scripture.
Amen.
Okay? If it goes contrary to the Scripture, you better back off.
Yep.
Take another look at it. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul is speaking here. And Paul says, I am an apostle by the will of God. Now, that had to go over pretty tough with the other apostles. If you know much about the Jewish background, he probably was taken to task a few times. He and Simon Peter had some debates about things at times. But Paul felt he was called by God. And you know, we love to go back to that Damascus Road experience and say, well, here he was. And then he disappears out in the desert. I said to you, I thought he went to Sinai, to the seminary at Sinai, and got his, he said, I got all mine from the Lord. I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't go to these other 12 guys. I went to him. Boy, that's a good thing to do, folks. Other people may have some good words for you and good advice for you, but they're never as good as the one that comes from above. And so he said, I'm an apostle by the will of God. I think there are people like that today. I think there are people who God actually, now I don't know how it happens, but then there are various stories about them, how it happens, that the Lord calls them to be an apostle. That is, to be an evangelist, to be a minister, to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I gave you this illustration before, but I was doing it for a different incident and for a different emphasis at that time. This is where I was getting personal for you. I was about 5 years old. I had a terrible accident. One that was supposed to leave me crippled for the rest of my life. And so they gave me a double truss to wear, and said, we'll try this for a little while and then we'll probably go into surgery. I was just 5 years old, and I was at church one Sunday night, and my pastor preached a sermon about healing. One little guy ended up at the altar, and that was me. Nobody else went to the altar. This dear old man, by the name of Dr. West, came down and took out a little vial and rubbed it on his finger. He put it on my head and he said, I'm anointing you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't tell you everything that he prayed, but I do remember some of what he prayed. It went something like this. Father, you know I'm getting old. I need somebody to fill my shoes. This young man could fill my shoes. But I don't want him to go out as a cripple. He needs to be healed. Would you verify a call for him by healing him? And he went on and prayed. Now, I have a feeling that all around us there was a lot of doubt going up. But he ended up by saying, we're going to lay hands on this boy and we're going to pray for God to heal him. And if you don't believe God can heal him, don't put your hand on him. A few people didn't put their hands on me. But those that did prayed, and I was healed. Now, over the years, people reminded me time and again, you know, God called you way back there. Well, that's been 80 years ago and more. And that same prayer stays with me time and time and time again. But I have a feeling that if I wasn't careful, I would be sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ because people told me God called me. But there has to come a time in your life where you and God settle it for yourself. I have to admit to you, I was a little bit slow, and so the Lord and I had to have several talks about this. Especially when I was in Korea, and I was a point man, and on the way back, I'm the last man back, and I'm cut off. And I'm saying, Lord, is this it? Is this all you got for me? I thought I was supposed to go back and preach. And here I am. I survived almost like in 15 minutes of five major campaigns, which means I was 50 hours of sustained battle in each of them. But the Lord knew what was going on. And so time and time again, the Lord and I had discussions about this. You have to find a way within yourself to work through the scriptures and let the scriptures come. But somewhere along the line, you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but there's a feeling that goes on inside of you that does not go contrary to the scripture. It does not offend the message of God that says, you're my man. I'll be with you wherever you go. Boy, it's a good thing he does. Because there are times in your life where you just have to say, Lord, are you sure? I'm not sure about this. I might need some help for you. So I know that there are times, and I've met some of these people, and I've heard their testimony, where people press somebody into the ministry, saying it was God's will for them, when God never talked to them about it. That's tough. That's a hard way to live. And so you have to pray for those people because they're trying to do what somebody has told them God wanted them to do. But I'll challenge you. If the Lord wants you to do something, He has a way to get to you. Okay? Don't push Him. You might question Him, but do it with a smile. And do it with love. Because he has so many ways he can answer you. You just read through your scriptures and there's... I think of poor brother Job. I mean, look at all he went through. By the will of God. Okay? Well, I realized that as I was growing older, it took me some time to realize that filling Dr. West's shoes did not necessarily mean I had to be a preacher. It meant that I would share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever I went. He was a missionary, a returned missionary. He'd been a missionary to China, he'd been a missionary to India, he'd been a missionary to Africa. I mean, the Holy Spirit just anointed him. And time and again, I'd say to myself, Lord, I want to do your will, but I need to make sure this is your will. Don't throw out fleeces like Gideon did. You know, you throw out the fleece. That probably works for some people, but you got to be willing to deal with the fleece, and it might not be what you want. But the Lord will help us to go through these things. And so, now for these 80 some years, my task has been sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He can heal not only the body but the soul. Now that has been my message from that day to this. He is in the healing business. He alone can heal your soul. Doctors may can help you in the healing of your body, but they can't do much with your soul. He can. And so my message over these many years has been, trust the Lord. He can heal you. Would you believe I gave my first message when I was 7 years old? My silly pastor decided that the Lord had laid his hands on me, and so I'm going to give you a chance to preach. And so he would take me and he would work with me with these scriptures. He said, all you need to do is tell them what God's done for you. That's what they need to hear. And tell them about John 3:16. So he'd take me to the jail services. I had a captive audience. They couldn't get up and walk out. They had to just stay right there. And so I would tell them what the Lord did for me, and I'd say to them, and He can do the same thing for you. He may not need to heal your body, but He needs to heal something about you, and He can heal your soul. And folks, that is my message yet to this day. 80 some years of saying, God so loved this world that He came to save you and me, and came to guide you and me. Well, Mark chapter 3, verse 35. These are the words of Jesus. Did I give somebody that in a read? I may not have. Because it was, and this is God talking. Isn't it? Jesus and God the same thing. So here's what He said. Whosoever shall do the will of God is my brother. How about that? Now that includes you and me. Now the question is, how do I know the will of God? I have to talk to Him. And I have to listen to Him. And I have to read His Word and study His Word. I really want to be His brother, don't you? I want Him to be my brother. I had three brothers, all of them older than me. That was fun. Because when my neck of the woods, we were all growing up out there in the woods together, and the neighborhood started growing. I had three brothers. I could do about anything I wanted to in that neighborhood. You might have a big brother. I got three brothers. I've lost two of them, but I still got my next oldest brother still alive. He's 90. Plays golf every day. First man on the tee box every day. You've met him. He's been with us a few times. He's that nut that's King James defender. Every Bible he goes through, he's got certain verses out of the King James Version he wants to look at. If it don't fit that, that's not a good Bible. Something wrong with the Bible. It's one thing to be a friend, but it's another thing to be a brother. What's a wonderful thing, though, is to be his child. To be his son. To be one with him is a marvelous thing. Well, let me shift gears here just a little bit now, and then we'll get vulnerable. I'm sorry this happened, but it did. Did somebody have Romans 1:10?
I do.
Read Romans 1:10 for me, please.
and I always ask in my prayers if perhaps now at last I may succeed in visiting you according to the will of God.
Mm. And who has Romans 5:3? Somebody has Romans 5:3? Okay. Here he's just talking about I'm making this journey to come to you by the will of God. You ever travel by the will of God? You ever ask the Lord to help you when you're on your journey? I know he's going to help you. You're going to ask for help through the journey when you get there because the traffic is going to get you. If you head toward town, you have to pray sometime. Quit praying for the other people and pray for yourself. You're the one who's in trouble. I need to shift gears here a little bit with you because I took a journey. When I was here in college back in the 1950s, there was a man here who taught pastoral theology. I cannot tell you that there was differences with him, me and him. Serious enough that I went home in my devotion one night and I prayed. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll go get whatever degrees I need to get and come back and replace this rascal. I prayed a long time about that. Long enough that I felt this is the will of the Lord. It didn't go well. I was pastoring down in South Miami, Florida, and found out that I had the opportunity at an open door at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, to go get my doctor's of theology degree. I preached my last sermon at the church that God had a man to stand in the hedge. They didn't realize I was resigning. But I resigned, packed up, moved to Louisville, Kentucky. A little humor on the side. We left Miami, Florida, 87 degrees. When I got to Louisville, Kentucky and checked in the motel, left all my stuff in the car except my dog and my wife and my kid. Went inside, come out the next morning, the car froze shut. And everything in it froze.
Oh, man.
I'm glad I took my dog in with me. The house that I was supposed to be able to move into was not available. Finally found a place to stay and went over to the seminary. And Dr. Hull said to me, well, Brother Williams, I sent you a letter that we didn't have room for you this year.
Mm.
I said, I never got that letter. Here's the letter I got from you, though. Well, he said, since you're here and since I did write you that letter, and since you didn't get the other letter, we'll let you in.
Mm.
See, I knew the Lord was in all this, see? Because the Lord and I had talked about this. I didn't ask the Lord to help me. I told the Lord what I was going to do. Be careful about doing that. And so they let me in. I got all the way to the very last class.
Mm.
And the door shut. I went crawling back to the Lord saying, what's going on here? Here came he doing all of your will in this. Well, let me just cut it short and tell you. He whispered something back to me. No, this was your idea. I never called you to go back and replace that man. That is heart-wrenching, folks. Be careful that it is not you telling the Lord this is his will and the Lord telling you this is his will. There's a vast difference. But you know what? He still loved me. He didn't throw me out. He didn't make me deathly sick. I was sick, but it wasn't about that. It was just sick all over. I'd never had a door shut like that, especially when it was his will. I mean, that won't work. So he still loved me. And he opened some other doors for me. And I came back to this college to teach. The other man was already gone. But I came back to teach. But I didn't get to teach pastoral theology. I taught history. I just spelled it differently. I spelled it H-I-S-S-T-O-R-Y. Because I'd say to my classes time and time again, we're not trying to read about what all these crazy people did. We're trying to find out how they obeyed or disobeyed God and what that meant to them. Did they find the will of God or did they not? And the price they paid for it. I'm here to tell you, that's still good teaching of history. A lot of what's going on in this world today could be settled if we could just find the will of God. Amen. And get other people to find the will of God. Part of our problem is, what you think is God's will and what other people think is God's will is not the same. And that's a problem. And so I came back to the school and I taught 27 years. But I never got over, I haven't gotten over to this day, that I told the Lord what He and I were going to do. And I paid a price for it. So how do you find the will of God? How do I find the will of God for me? One is do more listening than talking. Is doing more praying, asking the Lord rather than telling the Lord. Have you been listening to prayers lately? Most prayers we are sort of asking, but we're really kind of telling the Lord. Aren't we? I mean, it's just, think about it. Just, most of our prayers are real selfish kind of prayers. Just, how long has it been since you heard somebody pray for brother so-and-so that they be saved? Now we'll pray for the kids, but we've lost this art of the will of God in prayer. We need to still believe that God will answer prayer, but we need to be praying. I saw a thing the other day where they were just astonished that this 78-year-old man got saved. And they were talking about the statistics of how that was. I said to them, that's not a surprise to me. And nobody cares about the old people. They're after the kids. Mm. What are you, Sunday school, what are you looking for in Sunday school? How many kids have we got in Sunday school? The adults need Sunday school just like kids do. It's where we put our emphasis. God's will is for all of us, isn't it? God's will was that you be saved, the kids be saved, the drunk be saved, the drug addict be saved, the Islamics be saved, the Chinese be saved, we be saved. Well, I still live under that chagrin that I spent those years telling the Lord what His will was. It'll hurt you. But the wonderful thing is, God doesn't give up on you. And He'll let you have your way. You better be careful. He'll let you have your way. But you'll pay for it. But He doesn't throw the dirty baby out with the dirty bathwater. He takes out the clean child and sends him on his way and says, you can still live in My will. My will can still be lived out through your life.
Can I ask you a question,
brother? Yes, sir.
Did you see a time when the Holy Spirit told God what you really meant?
Yeah.
Is that maybe what you're saying?
Oh, the Holy Spirit, yeah, you know, the Holy Spirit is better for us than we know. Yeah. I'm glad He intercedes. Praise prayers for you and me, things we can't utter, and things we utter incorrectly. The tough part about it is He can't get our attention sometimes. That was my problem. I was so set on doing what I thought was God's will that I didn't ask God to give me His will. But after all that kind of settled around a little bit, and I began to pray, I said, well, Lord, okay, I'm still pastoring. I don't have to go back there and teach. I'll tell you the other side of the story. I was the youth head of the youth in Kentucky at that time, and you know, churches have these senior graduation times for their kids, and we had one in the district, and I had Dr. Mark Moore come to be our speaker. Dr. Mark Moore was president of Trevecca Nazarene College. He came and sat beside me. He said to me, Brother Tobe, you here in Louisville, we've got a number of schools here. I'd like for you to help me find a man who is finishing up some work and would come in to Trevecca and earn a doctor's degree in history. I've got a guy there, but he's not going to get his doctor's degree. He's fooled around and time's running out on him. And I need somebody with a doctor's degree so we can make it a major in the school. And so he gave his talk and everything, and he came back and sat back down. I said to him, do you know what I'm doing right now? He said, well, yeah, you're pastoring that strange church over there. What do you mean that strange church? Well, who ever heard of a Nazarene church called St. Matthew's? They kept trying to change the name of my church. I said to him, you change the name of the little town I'm in, we'll change the name of the church. We're in St. Matthew's. That's the St. Matthew's Church of the Nazarene. Just, I said, yes, but did you know that in 2 weeks I'll graduate from the University of Louisville with a master's degree in history? I cannot tell you. He exploded. Right? God sent this to us. This is a God thing. He got us here together. You're just exactly what I need. Isn't that interesting? He said, I'll have a contract for you. Just come sign the contract. A week later, I made my way down to Trevecca. Went in, and Dr. Stan Perry was the dean. I said to him, Dr. Perry, I'm here to sign my contract to teach history. I could tell by the look on his face, he and the Lord hadn't talked about this. Nor had he and Dr. Moore talked about it. I said, well, he said to me, Brother Williams, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about this. And Dr. Moore's out of town. I said, not a problem. I'm headed back from my church. And when he comes back, just tell him I came by. 2 weeks later, Sunday afternoon, my phone rings, and here's this hysterical man on the other end of the line. Oh, Brother Tobe, Brother Tobe, I'm so sorry. Oh, contract ready, come on. I make my way back down to Trevecca. Went in, Dr. Perry handed me a contract. Read your contract. I read the contract. I said to him, Dr. Perry, I can't sign this. He said, beg your pardon? I said, well, this is not what Dr. Moore and I agreed on. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I've gone through several places now, and I have found the doctoral program that I'm to work on, but Dr. Moore and I agreed that I would not be doing all these kinds of things that you've got in this contract while I'm working on that degree. That I would spend my time working on that degree. Well, he said, this is just the regular contract. I said, well, I'm sorry. Wait, he said, hold on. Picked up the phone. Dr. Moore, Brother Williams is here. We have a problem with this contract. Well, come on over. So we went over and Doctor, you just have to know Dr. Moore. He said to Stan, just cross these out. Says, he's going to work on a doctor's degree, and while he's working on his doctor's degree, he's going to be a part-time teacher, and so he's not going to do all these things. So I signed the contract. And came to Trevecca. The Lord knows how to work things out when you and I don't understand the working out that's going on. You'd probably be amazed at some of the things that's happened in your life that you don't know about, that if it had not happened, you wouldn't be where you are today. You look back now and you can see some of those things. I wasn't aware that this and that was going on. And the Lord helps us to get through these kinds of things. Well, I brought this to your attention because we need to find ways to distinguish between God's will for us and our will for God. Don't speak for Him. Let Him do the speaking. But just keep in mind, when all else fails, He never fails. He has a plan. I believe He has a plan for everybody's life. Our place is to find that plan, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Trust the Holy Spirit, but don't try to tell the Holy Spirit how to run His business. The Holy Spirit will talk to you. The Holy Spirit will confirm with you. Would you believe the Holy Spirit will also tell you no sometimes? Just you better take it and go with it. And so I ask the Lord to help me seek and find His will every day. I just have to tell you, I believe I'm in His will right now. I didn't tell Him how to do it. I just asked Him to guide and direct and help me to share the good news of the gospel. Well, let's look at some scriptures. This is a Bible study time. Yes, sir.
Pray for something, all right, that you want to do or go or whatever, but you don't hear anything, all right? Is that a no, or is that a yes? You know what I should? Yeah, you know that I'm telling you yes. You know what? You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I understand what I'm saying. That's why I'm asking this question this morning.
How do you know?
I will tell you this. God will reveal Himself to you if it's something to be revealed. Now, I will tell you this. God will tell you no sometime. And you better listen.
But if He doesn't tell you no, does that mean yes?
Good question, huh? See, I kind of thought so. I kind of thought so, but it didn't work out that way. Just remember, when you make a decision, every choice you make has a consequence. Okay? And don't blame Him on the consequence. Just be careful. Just ask Him to help you through the consequence. Yes, sir?
Your whole presentation today is just adding to my angst about where are our prophets? Where are our judges? I'm seeing silence on the Christian community. I mean, we've got babies being slaughtered. We've got these things. And I know it happened in Roman times. I know the Christians used to do this. I'm praying to see a movement. Unlike my past life, I don't want to get ahead of God. I just don't understand why we really don't stand up, and it's got to be God doing it. So I'm not saying in our own power, but are we being called to represent Christ and stand up against the evil of this world? I'm not getting any direction. That area.
There's more of it going on in this world than you and I know about because we're too involved in our society. But around this world, there are thousands of people every day coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just sorry that we here in America have let up on seeing the importance of people being saved. We are reaping a consequence of some choices that were made a few years ago to take the Bible out of our schools, Amen. Take prayer out of our schools, Amen. Take discipline out of our schools. We're paying a price for it. But God is still in the saving business, and there's still kids being saved, Amen. And there's still adults being saved because it's God's will. It's not your will or mine, it's His. And part of our problem is we have taken it on our way. We think our psychology and psychiatrists and medicine and all this other stuff is the answer to everything. And that's not the answer. They don't have anything that will cure the sin problem except the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the will of God. Okay, let's get some scriptures. Let's go to somebody's got Romans. You know Romans 8:28, but do you know Romans 8:27? Listen to Romans 8:27.
And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Wow. Folks, tell her to shake your basket. The Holy Spirit in you is God Himself in you, making intercession for you. That is, He's trying to give you directions. He's trying to tell you what is the will of God. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit does not belong to the Church of the Nazarene. It does not belong to any denomination. It belongs to the will of God. God's Spirit moves within you and me. And if you're ever going to find the will of God, just remember this. The Holy Spirit will direct you, but you got to listen. Don't be hard-headed like me. You have to listen to Him. He will tell you no sometime. Yes, sir.
8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Absolutely.
For we do not know how we should pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us mm-hmm. with inexpressible groaning.
Yeah, absolutely. I've learned a long time ago, I can trick myself. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, I can't believe I did that? Or have you ever caught yourself and said, I can't believe I said that? We trick ourselves. But folks, the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you. That's not a theology. That's not a doctrine. That's not a church creed. That's God in action. The Holy Spirit will work with us and make intercession for us. For what? So that we will understand the will of God. Okay? Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5. Listen to this one.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father.
Wow.
To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now, folks, that was Jesus Christ speaking. He's speaking according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? What was His will? That you be forgiven of your sins. And that the man out there be forgiven of his sins. The man in Africa be forgiven of his sins. He made no distinction. He just said, the Father, through the Holy Spirit, will save whoever believes in Him. So we have the Holy Spirit working with us and for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to verse 6.
Obey them not only to win their favor with their eyes on you, but like slaves to Christ, to do the will of God in the heart.
Where, Ted? Now, this is your favorite one here, because it's doing. It's back to James and his work. Can't just be a mannequin. There are no sanctified mannequins. They're on display, but they ain't worth nothing. You got to be doing something. So, well, I'm getting too old to do something. No, you're not getting too old to do something. Right, Brother Bill? Not getting too old to do something. You do. Yeah. You have to, yes, sir. You have to do things because it's the will of God that you tell others about the love of God and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. We need to spend more time dealing with people who have problems than the children only. The children have problems. We can work with the children, but we need to work with other people. We need to work with those people who don't seem to be able to be worked with. You ever come across them? I, I hate to tell you, I know you don't believe in demons, maybe, but I've right here in this city, a number of years ago, I laid across an altar with a demon-possessed man. I mean, he was ugly, saying some terrible things, had an awful voice coming out of him. But God touched him. God healed him. Because God's in that kind of business. He will help the helpless. And he'll help you and me to do, not just to pray about it, not just to ask about it, but to do something about it. See, that's where I thought I was really doing something good, when I was doing the will of God. And the Lord said to me, no, wait. So you want to be sure that what you're doing does not go contrary to the Scripture. Okay? And when you find people going contrary to the Scripture, just point out the Scripture to them in love and grace. And when somebody finds you having a problem and they come to you in love and grace, accept it as the Lord sending them. That's not easy to take. But you have to do it sometime. Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. This is a good one.
Therefore, those who all suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right.
What are they doing? Suffering. Lord forbid that you could suffer by the will of God. Sometimes the greatest example that comes out of your life had been when you were suffering. People saw you suffering through this. I've had a lot of people say to me, they marvel at how I handled the death of my young son. 4th of July of year 2000, I went to his house and found him dead in a bathtub. Could not get him out. He did not drown. He had heart failure. But he's a big boy. I couldn't get him out. So I called 911. Took two big guys to get him out of there, and they worked on him. And they had him out there on the floor. I knew it was already too late. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you sure have given me a mountain to climb. He whispered back and said, but we'll make it. Yeah. And through that suffering, I've been able to help a lot of people. Because a lot of other people have gone through the same kind of thing and did not know that sweet voice of Jesus saying, we'll make it. I'll be with you. I don't desert you when everything else seems to be failing. I'm right there with you. I had a son. I know what it is. I'll be with you. And so use that suffering time to let the Lord Jesus Christ share his will through you to other people. He'll do that for us. Well, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. No, let's see. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17.
The world is passing away, and all the things that people want in the world are passing away. But the person who does what God wants lives forever.
You see, the will of God is that you would have life everlasting. The will of God is that you be saved. The will of God is that you be one with Him through His Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. I know you laugh with me sometime when I chide Dr. Hennig about it. All this stuff about heaven you talk about, I've been through all those millennial things and all that stuff. If I understand Jesus right, He said, Father, I'm one with you. They're one with me. I want them to be one with us. That, to me, is the essence of it all. That Jesus is saying to us, His Spirit and our spirit will be one. We'll abide forever because He is forever. That's the will of God for you and me. That we would be with Him forever. I'm not worried about streets of gold and walls of jasper and how high is the wall and how big are the lakes and all these things. I don't even want a mansion on the hillside. I like the one that says, I want to see Jesus. I want to be with him. I think everything else will fade. When my will and his will become one and we are one, and that's going to make all the difference in the world. Well, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Now, be careful about this one. Now, this is not a proof scripture. This is not a proof text. This is the word of God. Listen to it.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
This is your sanctification. This is the life that you have set apart from the world to God. This is a life of holiness being lived out through you. And holiness is not a doctrine. Holiness is a reflection. It's God reflecting through you to the world around you. It isn't that you're going to be holy. It's going to be that you let a holy God reflect himself through you so others will see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Live holy lives. Live that life that is separated, that life that is Christ-centered. The one that seeks and finds and lives out what God designed us to live out. That he so loved us that he gave his son for us. Okay, let's go to this final one. Now, Brother Frank, I think you have Matthew 28.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Now you don't have a red letter Bible there, do you?
This one's red.
Is it red?
It's an ESV.
If you have a red letter Bible, that's in red, isn't it?
It is.
You know who said those words? So I'm going to tell you the will of God for you today. You ready for me? You want to know about the will of God? I'm going to tell you. Go. Reach out to the lost. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Whatever else you're going to find in the will of God, find this. Go. Make disciples. Tell them what I have said to you. Teach them about me. Teach them about my Holy Spirit. Teach them about my will is sufficient. And my grace is always available. Father, thank you for your abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for finding your way into our lives to help us discern your Spirit and your guidance and your will. Send us out from here today to make disciples of those around us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. Have a good day.